Are you a sheep? No. You're a dragon. Be a dragon.
This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, wonderful, insanely cool co-host, Monica. Hi, Monica.
Hi, Amanda. How are you doing?
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. How are you?
All good in the hood. I'm a bit tired, but other than that, I think it's fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm also a wee bit tired today, but it's been a bit of a Monday. And so now that we're recording, the Monday has Mondayed and the energy level has succumbed to the Monday.
The Monday is Mondayed. I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It Mondayed a bit is here as well. I did get surprisingly quite some work done. So
that's awesome.
Woo. Yep. But not feeling it in the last couple of days, weeks, I don't know. Takes me longer to get up in the morning because I'm just lying there and I'm like, nah, I don't want to move my ass out of bed.
Yeah. But being at war with yourself, it's like, oh, I could get up, but I couldn't, but it's so dark out, so I'm just going to lie here. And
that even follows me into my dreams.
Oh, does it?
I dreamt that in a dream very recently, that I didn't want to go out of bed and didn't want to go shower. It was very real.
Yeah, that sounds pretty real and pretty relevant to me, my life, because just never want to shower, so get it.
Yeah.
Caveat, I do shower. I just don't want to.
Yeah. I am not specifically against showering. Just, yeah, happens. But yeah. It's more the getting out of bed and getting under the shower situation that's not very inviting all the time.
I get it a lot. I get it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to on the weekend? Anything special?
No, not really. I read a lot. We ran out of oil. Thankfully, we only ran out for like less than 24 hours because we got a pretty quick delivery. But that meant that I got to sit and read a lot. Unfortunately, I'm still reading that Harley Merlin series that is going on and on and on and on and on. And I think it's going on too long. That's my conclusion. I just finished book 8 and I'm like, How are there still 7 more books?
You will read all of them?
Probably, because I want to know what the outcome of this story is. Like, it's something that the story itself is quite interesting. But, oh my god, it's taking a long time to get anywhere.
Well.
So I think I need to take a break. Like, I've read 8 since the beginning of January, and I think I just need
to... What the fuck? Well,
I just need to take a break from them and read anything else.
That sounds like it.
Mm-hmm.
8?
But I got some really good news today.
Yes.
My friend, author David J. Pearson, who wrote Orson, which I reviewed and we talked about it, like, sometime last year, he sent me a message today that he's sending me a hardcover copy of the second book in the series called Eston, and that should be with me by the end of the week. So I'm like really excited about that one.
Ooh, amazing, amazing. Yeah. I smell another review.
Oh, definitely, definitely, especially because this one's following Eston, who is a female character.
Yay!
Like, she seems pretty badass from our encounters in the first book. So yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Cool.
The book's out now if you want to get it. It's available on Amazon.
We can link it in the show notes.
We will. Yeah, that's it. I ordered a couple other books that I've been dying to read, so I bought them today, and just overall feeling pretty bookish lately. What about you? What's new?
I have to admit, I fell into the black hole of Grey's Anatomy again.
That's fine. You like Grey's Anatomy.
I know. I love it. And I have a VPN right now, and I can watch the US Netflix, basically, and they have all the seasons on Netflix, and that's where I'm at right now, watching them all over and over and over again. In English now, obviously, because I previously watched them all in German. They are way better. Even in English, they're way better. Like, the old ones I haven't seen in the original version yet, so it's interesting and fascinating at the same time. And I noticed a pretty nice move from the writers in that entire thing, because I mean, we're in season 16 now, so if there can't be any spoilers in any seasons before that. So what, at some point when Christina leaves the show, so the one of the main characters who was turned out to be the heart surgeon and blah, blah, blah. When she left the show, at the beginning of the show, when it all started, when it was first season, everything, she started a relationship with that other heart surgeon, with Preston Burke, right? And pretty much during the first few, when she was talking about the relationship, she said, yeah, the two of them are Switzerland, and talks about blah, blah, blah. And then when she left the series, she went to Switzerland, where Preston Burke gave her basically his job. And that was in Switzerland. I don't think that's a coincidence. And I'm very impressed by the writers of the show. You're not impressed. I'm impressed.
But I think it's just because I don't get the context, really.
I don't know. I just thought of, she was there like, what, I don't know, 9 seasons. So they started out with a random comment in the first, and then basically tore it together in the 9th season. That's what impresses me.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah.
Yes. I don't think, as I said, I don't think it's a coincidence that I sent her to Switzerland for a heart something.
No.
Yeah. So
probably not.
Probably not. Anyway, that's just me. It was in my head constantly, so now I just spoke it out loud, and you're not impressed. So I'm like, meh, still find it impressive. Anyway.
Writing is cool.
Yeah. I see how you try to make me feel better, but let's just move on to, why are we here today?
We're talking about The Witcher.
Might be a bit late on the train, but I don't probably think we cannot be too late on that train.
You can't be too late on this train. I mean, as we talked about on our first Geek Girl of the News of 2020, everybody has watched The Witcher. So,
well, almost, but yeah.
No, we have decided that if my parents watched and enjoyed everybody has watched it, and that the weirdo is actually a robot, so he doesn't count as a person.
True. Yeah, it's true. I hear you, see your point, and I have to agree. Yeah. So The Witcher, give us some details. Basically, The Witcher was initially a video game and a book series. Or was it the book series first?
It was a book series first. The author, Andrzej Sapkowski, who wrote the original Witcher series, which wasn't called The Witcher, I wrote an article about this, actually. He sold the rights to his book back in the 90s for like something like $100 or something. It was like, he just didn't actually give a shit. And if you read interviews and stuff with him, he's just like, I don't actually want to do any work. he's like, I wrote these books. Sure, give me money for them. I don't care what you do with them. Like, he just doesn't really give a shit. So it's quite funny. Actually, how everything has come about, and that his books that he wrote way in the 90s have created something so beloved, and something that is still bringing him so much credit and recognition, like 20 years later, that it's just funny. I love it.
Apparently, he wrote them in the 1990s, so it's already 30 years now. The first 30 book? Years.
Yeah, sorry, 30. I still think of the 90s as 20 years ago. I know. So that's my bad.
That's even great that you think of them 20 years ago, because for me, 2000 was just last year or something.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too. That too. But I was like, yeah, how long ago were the 90s? Yeah, 20 years? 20 years sounds good. Let's say 20 years.
He's Polish guy. I think we need to add that, because I think it's great when stuff like that comes from not the US sometimes, or not the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, he's 71 years old, because he's born in 1948, which is also pretty cool.
He is 1 year older than my mom. So The Witcher basically is the story of Geralt of Rivia, who's a monster hunter, and he's struggling to find his place in the world because people are assholes and they're usually worse than monsters. The story follows his destiny as it's like taking him towards this powerful sorceress who in the show is actually really, really hot, and also like a promise made about a young princess who he is also destined to have in his life. Was that a good synopsis?
I think it was a pretty good synopsis. The TV series, so the show technically is on Netflix, like not technically, the show is aired on Netflix. And at the beginning, you don't really realize that there are various time lines that you are watching at the same time. So you think it's all in one timeline, and only a few episodes in, you notice that that's not really the case, which I find is pretty interesting.
I was so confused.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually not going to lie. I wanted to watch the entire series again before we recorded this episode, but life happened and I didn't get a chance to. But it took me, like, I had no idea that we were hopping between timelines, and I was pretty confused.
I think that happened to a lot of people watching it because you started to watch it pretty early on, right?
Yeah.
Like, as soon as it came out, pretty much. And I was later on that train, and I already saw a lot of complaints about the timeline and how, when you Googled The Witcher, that was basically the first thing that came up. So I was already having a graphic from Netflix with a timeline where I knew what was going on and how the timeline was going on. That helped me immensely, I have to say.
Yeah, that would be super helpful.
I can see how if you watch it and you don't have the timeline and you don't know that it is happening, you're super confused. Because when you know that there is some timeline switching, then you can accustom how you watch it. But when you have no idea and you expect it to be, well, one thing after the other, as it usually is, then you're just totally confused, as you said, when that suddenly isn't the case.
Oh, exactly. Because it's not like it says, like, this is the past. Like, it comes up with words or something like, we're going in the past, and this is the present, and this is the past. Like, it doesn't. It just, like, tells a story, and you're expected to realize that there's, like, 20 or 30 years between these, like, timelines, but Geralt of Rivia looks exactly the same.
Well, is he immortal? Isn't he pretty much immortal?
Pretty much, yeah. So he looks exactly the same, and he's like the only constant in the two timelines. And it's not until you realize that, like, the princess Ciri is no longer. I don't know. I was very, very, very confused, but it was a good show.
Yeah,
that's my conclusion.
Yeah,
yeah. So one thing that I loved about The Witcher is that it was created and adapted for TV by a pretty awesome woman by the name of Lauren Schmidt.
She's American, and she also worked with some other shows previously already. A few of them are really dear to me, like Parenthood or Private Practice. But she also has some comic experience with The Defenders and Daredevil and the Umbrella Academy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's pretty great seeing a woman take a series that's, you know, been heavily male-dominated in its production between the actual writing and then the adaptation to the video games, brought into something that portrays strong, like, pretty awesome, badass female characters, like, because it is a very female character-based series, really. There are so many women and in different roles. And then it's just like Geralt of Rivia hanging out and being like, look at all these women around me. Kind of.
Now they're all pretty, all the women around. So there are not really a lot of main character. Well, there are. But the main character obviously is, as you said, Geralt of Rivia, which is played by Henry Cavill. I have it right now because I read it just now.
I'm so proud of you.
And then pretty much all the people in the separate storylines that are not like side characters are all female. So there is this princess that Amanda was talking about, Siri, which also made me laugh a lot, I have to say. Mm-hmm. Oh, my Siri just started to talk to me. Now that and Yennefer Vengerberg, which is a, she's a, witch is the wrong word, witch. Right? Is it witch? Sorceress?
And Fringilla. You can't say that Fringilla is not a main character. She's in just as many episodes as Yennefer.
I just totally blanked on, oh, Fringilla.
Yeah. She is kind of, she goes through the same sorceress training that Yennefer does, but she kind of goes a different direction with like the balance between good and evil, I guess.
Though it took me a while to, I think that's not entirely clear in the entire series, maybe until the end of it, what's really good or...
I'm just laughing because it's so true. The whole time I was like, who's Fringilla? They keep talking about Fringilla and I don't know. I don't actually know who that is. And like you say, it wasn't clear until the end. And you're like, oh, that's Fringilla.
No, but also the good or the evil side, because for a very long time I thought Yennefer was an asshole and on the bad side of the coin, basically, mm-hmm. which then it seemed to not be quite the case. So it's not really... I think the entire series is not the typical this is good versus this is evil, because Geralt of Rivia is also kind of both until the bard comes and makes a great song about him. That's true. So it's never, or it's not never, but it's difficult because you always have both sides working with each other, so every character in it can be kind of both and is also both depending on the situation, which is interesting. And I think
it's really cool because so many, like, oftentimes in life, like, it's a really good metaphor because most people don't act like their life is, like, they're not always morally good,
yeah,
or like lawfully good, like to go D&D style, like it's not how you generally think of your life. You always have those moments where you're both a good person, or maybe you were the bad person. Maybe you were the asshole in the situation.
Yeah, and I think life is way more complex than that. Life is way more complex than to categorize people and situations into good only and bad only. So there are always way more facets to everything. So it's not always just black and white. Sorry for you people who live in black and white all the time, but that's just not how I see life is going.
No, I don't either. Yeah. And I think that's probably one of the things that's so appealing and attractive about this series, because it is relatable in that way. Like, yeah, okay, it's about monsters and it's about immortality and witches and magic and blah, blah, blah. But at the base level of it, it is about human nature and the duality of human nature.
Yeah. Also made me laugh. You made me laugh just now by saying, what's so attractive about this series? There's something else.
It's Henry Cavill as Geralt of Rivia. Yes. Yes, that's very, very true.
Yeah, sorry. Even I think when all the encounters he has, like, you wouldn't have thought that wherever he went with Renfrey, something that would have happened. So that was also not 100% good versus 100% evil situation. So I think that happens often in the series, that it's kind of both, and you can find who you side with in the scene, basically, and it's not always the main character.
No, not always. So you do have a lot of empathy for him, especially as the series goes on, and no spoilers, but there is a lot of empathy because witchers aren't born, they're made. And it's a life that I don't think anybody would not many people would willfully choose for themselves, but once you become a Witcher, that's it, that's your life.
Mm.
And for you kind of got to make the best of it. And I think, like, as well, anybody who's played any kind of like RPG game like Skyrim or Elder Scrolls or The Witcher or, you know, something, as the main character, you're playing as the main character, regardless of whether you've created that yourself or you're playing somebody like Geralt of Rivia in The Witcher. You're following and you're taking on quests and you're adventuring and you're doing things all for your own gain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, regardless of whether what you're doing is good for the world or it's just like you're tracking down a group of bandits and you're beating the shit out of them and like helping recover a village or you're putting fires out, like, it doesn't matter. At the end of it, it's all for your own gain. Like, you're getting money, you're getting like jewels, you're getting weapons. Like, it's just purely selfish at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this very much follows that, but you see, I think, in The Witcher why he has followed, like, is on this path. Like, yeah, okay, he is hunting monsters, and it's because it's what he does as a Witcher. It's what he has to do, but he doesn't do it for free. He's not doing it because he wants to. He's doing it for the coin.
Mm, I think, or at least that's what I would seem to be the case, is that there are apparently Witchers who do it way more for their personal gain, whereas he seems to try and balance it by the whatever he takes on. He has some sort of codex for himself, or so that's what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
But again, not everybody and not everything he does is full of good deeds, basically, because he also does things he doesn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't want to say more about because spoilers and everything, for those who haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, should we go into some spoiler territory here and just talk about, you know, just a few things that I think would be kind of important for us to talk about?
Yep.
Okay, so spoiler alert from here on in.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just wanted to bring up Yennefer. I know that there was a lot of controversy at the time regarding her transformation, because quite early in the series she had, I don't know what the correct kind of phrase is, but she had a big hump on her shoulder, and like had a malaligned back, mm-hmm. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And she was kind of in an abusive household where she was not really happy at the farm that she was on. And
she was treated like an animal because she wasn't, especially back in the days, people with disabilities were thrown away or treated like shit. So the way she looked like basically made her father treat her like the pigs she was working with.
Basically, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that was well, very well said. and you see in the show, episode 2 or maybe 3, she, and I don't know how far in the future this was because I didn't realize that there was timelines. So I don't know, Monica, if you can tell me if was this the future or like when this was, but she went through a procedure to have her entire like body remolded.
Yeah,
but it was at the expense of losing the ability to give children,
mm-hmm.
or to have children, not to give children.
Yeah.
To bear children. And it was a really violent scene, really, really graphic. And like, you really felt the pain that she was going through and like to do that. And now there was a lot of people that I saw online that were complaining that they took away Yennefer's disability and made her this beautiful person.
Mm-hmm.
Which it was kind of, and basically the point that they were saying was that the show was saying that they're basically saying that disabled people aren't cool. That they're not like, that they couldn't be what they wanted to be and do what they wanted to do in order. It was like conforming to society standards of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to talk about that.
I definitely felt uncomfortable during the scene, and I had this typical
obviously they made her pretty, thought, because she was very, she was already quite powerful when she looked the way she looked, pretty much. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it. If it's just something where I then got made peace with it, because that's just how Hollywood works. Because obviously all the women in the show were super pretty again. And even when I say other fantasy movies make the enchant themselves young and pretty, but that's also just fairy tales. So, and that's also part of the culture to just make everyone pretty all the time. So I have a really hard time putting my finger on it. What would have been the best course of action? Because she was also suffering from that a lot, and she didn't come to peace with it. So how could they have resolved the situation? Because that was her breaking out of the stereotype kind of thing that she, or the it was her power move, because by becoming what she then later became, that gave her the option to go to all the places, to the place she wanted to go, which initially she wasn't allowed to. So that was her kind of taking, her way of taking her power back. She probably could have taken her power back differently as well. But also she's a magician and the sorceress and a mage. So like she can do all, I don't know.
Yeah, I do agree that it was her way of taking back her power and also bringing more power, because probably to Yennefer, she saw all these beautiful women around her achieving great things in court, and she didn't see anybody that looked like her. She didn't see anybody that had any kind of disabilities or anything other than beauty surrounding her. So she wanted to be like that, but it was at the expense of being able to bear children, and that was something that she decided on a whim, like in anger, that she was willing to make that sacrifice. But then she spent like the rest of her life, at least in season one, trying to find a way to actually have children again. And
for me, it was more a way of killing her past, less about becoming like the others and also be pretty and everything. It felt more that she was suffering what had happened to her previously. So by changing her exterior, she basically got rid of all of that trauma, which is obviously not true, because she doesn't have that issue anymore doesn't mean she has resolved what has happened to her. And now she's just hunting for something else. So the hunt for her uterus basically now exchanged the hunt for respect that she didn't get previously.
It was basically kind of saying, like, regardless of what you change about yourself, you'll still be, unless you're actually truly happy, you'll still be striving to fix something.
Yeah, I guess so. Even now that she's pretty, she's not truly, she didn't get what she wanted. All the things she wanted that she achieved through her beauty now turned out to be not what she wanted. Because the court that she wanted to go to, she hated now. And not being able to bear children, she was super, she did everything she could to get back to that. And apparently she was one of the really strong mages, because otherwise when they had that fight, she wouldn't have been in the position she was at, I guess. But happiness-wise, she wasn't any step further. So maybe that's the lesson we learn from that. That you
don't need to change yourself in order to be happy.
That's at least that's not the key. That's not what brings you happiness, because you still, something is still missing, and now for her it's actually bearing children. But maybe that's actually a pretty nice metaphor that they put there, but we just hold ourselves up from the fact that they again got rid of her disability. I was always wondering if that's the same actress.
It is,
because the costume and makeup was incredible.
Yeah, She's so young as well, the actress that played Yennefer, Anya Chalotra. She was only born in 96. She's what?
23, 24.
And like, I don't know. I think that her acting was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And like, it was pretty much one of her first really big roles. Like, she has had a few, but this was the one that was pretty big for acting credits.
That is pretty big for acting credits.
Yeah. Like, I haven't heard of the other ones, the other shows that she's been. Wanderlust, The ABC Murders, and Sherwood. Not saying that they're not great, I just haven't heard of them.
Yeah.
And yeah, so to go from something like fairly low key to something like The Witcher that's gotten so much attention, I think is pretty awesome for somebody like just breaking into acting scenes.
I mean, a lot of the actresses and actors besides Henry Cavill are ones that I haven't heard of before.
That's true.
So I'm wondering if they spent all the money on Superman and
and but can we just talk, sorry, about Henry Cavill in general? He did all his own stunts for this movie, or for this TV show.
I know.
He did all his own stunts. And I think that's so cool. Like, he was just like, stuntman? No. I'm going to learn sword fighting. I'm going to learn, like, everything himself. And
I don't know.
I think it's awesome.
It's amazing. I saw a video of where he described basically one of these fighting scenes. So he was... he said how difficult it was because they were shooting it in one go almost. And they had to, even if he did everything right, because they had to train all the crew, because it's technically a choreography that they have to do, and the cameras need to be in the right spot. And he had like his sword didn't have the front on it, so it was basically just a stump of the sword, and he was fighting with that stump, and he had to pretend that the sword was the proper length because then they CGI'd the rest of it in. And because it was almost filmed in a one go situation, it could be that he did everything right, but the camera was just a tiny bit off, so it didn't look real anymore, so they had to do it all over again. And I'm like, that's just incredible. Yeah,
it's really hardcore. I think we must have watched the same video, because I was like, just the whole thing there was amazing, the cinematography. And I can't get over that, pretty much. I'm just like, whoa. And I read in the trivia on IMDb as well that he worked with The Rock's trainer in order to get his physique up to be more, you know, Geralt of Rivia and less Superman.
Is there so much difference?
I guess.
He looks quite short, though. As Superman, I would think that he is taller. But as Geralt of Rivia, he seems a bit small and drunk.
Well... I mean, he's 6'1", so I'd say he's probably not that small.
True.
Yeah.
It's probably not that small then.
No. However, I just found out that he lives in London, and I'm going to London at the beginning of March, so maybe I'm never coming home.
I'm sorry, Tom.
Sorry, Henry Cavill, but only in a blonde wig, and I are going to live together in London.
Only if he wears a blonde wig.
Only if he wears that's the only time I'm attracted to him is as the Witcher.
It's interesting. Maybe it's just not everybody likes the good guy like he plays in Superman. Maybe you're more the bad kind of guy person.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I buy it.
I have one question.
Okay.
Did you quite get the Renfrey storyline? She was the one that he killed in that. It seemed like they were having something, like an affair situation kind of thing, and then he had to kill her.
Yeah, I think I probably blocked that out as something that really confused me in the timelines, because I actually don't really remember that. The timelines really threw me, and that is a big thing. That's why I want to watch it all again, because then I could tell you what I thought about Renfrey, because right now I'm like, actually don't even remember that.
Yeah. I'm really sad that the next season only is happening in 21.
I know, like a whole year to wait.
It's like Game of Thrones all fucking over again.
I know. Except it'll be better because the story is finished on this one. Yeah.
Did you play the video game?
I didn't, actually. And that's not to say that I won't, because we have it. Tom got it a few years ago when it first came out. And he put me off it because he said that he didn't think I would like the style of gameplay. Mm-hmm. So I just never bothered, even though I kept being like, I wonder if I'd like it. And I just believed him. So I need to stop trusting that Tom knows what I like, and I need to play it for myself.
Yeah.
And I also want to read the books, like, in a real bad way.
Well, that's, I think, something that's always on your mind. What stuff can you read next?
It's true. So I'm like, can I read about that? Can I read the book? Is there a book? Yeah.
I think you have a few of those for that one.
Yeah. And I think, like, reading the books would also help a lot with the timeline. Because I read somewhere that they tried to bring a whole bunch of stories from, like, throughout a few of the books into play in the show, which would have contributed to the confusion. Yeah, I'm definitely going to read the books. Definitely need some more information. Yeah, really did love it, despite being confused. So I would say, like, the last half of the season definitely had piqued my interest a lot more, because it was like, once I clicked and I was like, there's timelines, then it was like the enjoyment level went from like a 4 to a 10. I was like, ooh. I know what's happening now. But before that I was like, it didn't hold me. But yeah, I think knowing about the timelines and like right from the start would have been a lot, like, big benefit. The thing that threw me really early on, actually, was Yennefer's relationship with Istrid, the mage. And because I thought that he was considerably older than her when they started, like, having sex. I don't think so now, but, like, when they first started, like, I was like, she's, like, 8 or 10 or 12. But I think this was a timeline thing, and I was really confused. But, like, I totally thought that he was, like, a 25-year-old man and she was, like, a 12-year-old girl and they were having sex.
The moment I saw her, I thought she was 18, 19 at least.
Yeah, I totally didn't think that. I thought she was, like, a young child.
Wow.
Yeah. So that definitely threw me. I was just like, ooh, this is weird.
But it's also pseudo Middle Ages, and that wouldn't be weird in the pseudo Middle Ages, though it should be on television.
Yeah, like, even on television, like, that would be a wee bit weird.
Yeah.
But I do really like the actor that played Istrid, Royce Pearson. I think he's a fantastic actor, and he brought a lot to that role, because it was kind of a deceitful role. He was like playing both sides for a bit, but then he actually really did love Yennefer, and it just, yeah.
I can't quite put my finger on it. He wasn't like, I don't know, he felt irrelevant to me. Pretty much, I don't know.
Yeah, but then Yennefer went to him to be like, I love you, and he was like, nah.
You don't really. Not now. He was now. Just like,
yeah, I don't know. It was interesting, just the way it all the storylines worked out.
I'm curious what the destiny of Geralt and Ciri will be.
That does throw me. I'm like, is she like his daughter? Is she destined to be his lover? Like, are they friends? Like, I'm just really curious about.
They met each other as if they knew, so I have no fucking clue what's going on. Maybe the destiny thing is just something that, I don't know, pulls people together in whatever way. I feel that.
Yeah, well, he made claim for her in the court. He was like, he said about the queen's daughter or the princess's daughter. He was like, that's the promise or the.
This is something with surprise. The law of surprise.
The law of surprise, yeah. And that was to have Ciri.
I didn't think he had a fucking clue what that even meant.
I don't know that he did. But they both, like, the whole show was them, like, in destiny. Like, he's getting told, you're destiny of Geralt, find Geralt. And Geralt's like, I should probably find Ciri at some point after I finish fucking around. Like, But I'm like, are they lovers? Like,
the law of surprise, let me, I Google that, because I don't think that the law of surprise technically says that you get a child. I just think that something, and that Google says that the law of surprise is a custom as old as humanity itself. The law dictates that a man saved by another is expected to offer to his savior a boon whose nature is unknown to one or both parties. Huh. In most cases, the boon takes the form of the saved man's firstborn child, conceived or born without the father's knowledge. But that doesn't mean that that's technically the case, so it could be everything.
Interesting.
So I just...
And is that law of surprise, is that specific here to The Witcher? Like, is that just like a Witcher lore, or is that like an actual thing?
It looks like it's part of The Witcher, because that's the first few pages.
Okay.
That come up here. One is from Esquire, but that's also from The Witcher.
Hmm.
So yeah, and he didn't know that there was a firstborn, that there was some pregnancy or a child or something, that she was pregnant already. He didn't know that when he claimed the law of surprise.
Yeah, it's interesting that way that he didn't know, and yet she was always told your destiny is Geralt. But then somehow it became more apparent to him that he needed to find her.
He wanted to run away from his destiny, but apparently that didn't work. So that's why he then gave into it and looked for her. Because he didn't look for her for a while.
True.
And he didn't know that she... I mean, he knew that, because when he claimed it, then he heard, then he, right after, somebody told him that the thing was pregnant, that the other one was pregnant. And so... But he never came to claim her immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He only later, when the thing all went up in flames and blah blah, then
and even that was like a journey to get there. And
yeah,
but then again, that could have been a timeline confusion for me.
Hmm.
Like, how long did it actually take him to get to her? I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm generally very curious how it's gonna continue.
Me too. And I'm definitely going to be here for season 2 and here for devouring all of the other Witcher content that's already out.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's my thoughts on The Witcher. Yours?
Yep. Definitely going to keep watching it. Hopefully it's going to have some good, more female strong content.
I think it will, judging by the way it started.
Yeah. And more Henry Cavill.
In a blonde wig.
Well, I mean, I'm not basically attracted. I like him. It's not that I get all a knot in my panties or something, but but it cracks me up whenever I hear him swear, because I'm like, Superman never swore. That's just something that's really hilarious to me. And his general behavior is just hilarious. Demeanor, it's pretty funny. Yeah.
So. I love it. Everything about him as Geralt. I think I'm just like, yes, please. So, and the fact that he like so aggressively pursued the role as well, like he was like, I want to be Geralt, and was like hounding his agents to get him the role, it just makes me love it. I just love it even more.
Yeah. Cool beans. So 2021, we're here for you.
Yep. And in the meantime, I will rewatch this.
Yeah. I probably need to rewatch it closer to the date, because otherwise I will just have forgotten it again entirely.
True.
Cool.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our chat about The Witcher. We'd love to know what you think about it. Did you love it? Do you prefer Henry Cavill as Superman or Geralt? I don't know. I'm sure there's other important questions that we should ask you, but really, that's the only one I actually care about.
So. Amanda just wants to know with how many people she needs to share Henry Cavill with.
I would share him.
That's very nice of you.
Well, I'm only attracted to him one way, so he can't look like that all the time.
Or can he?
That's true.
Yep. See?
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Cool. So, cool.
Well,
see you next week, because it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, we have an interview lined up next week, and we think you're going to love it.
We love it.
At least we're pretty sure it's going to be an interview next week.
Something's coming.
It'll be good anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can believe that.
Cool. See you.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.